2004, scientists dug up the fossil of a fish that was 9 feet long. It had scales, gills, and an alligator-like head. They only had the top half of the fossil, but recently they uncovered the lower half, and that was the strangest part of the animal, its fins. What's so remarkable about a fish that has fins? Ted Deschler is on the team that made the discovery, published in the journal Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. He's also a professor and associate curator at the Academy of Natural Sciences at Drexel in Philadelphia. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, Ira. Nice to be with you.
Can you describe what the animal looks like?
Absolutely. You did a pretty good job. It's alligator-like in sort of general form, but definitely with appendages, you know, fins that were more limb-like than they were fin-like. And that's the most interesting thing. Tiktaalik is what we named this animal. Fits in that transition between finned animals and limbed animals.
When you say more limb-like, it had like a ball and socket joint?
Well, that's exactly what we've been studying in the fossils that we're finding. Both in the front and hind regions, we see well-developed shoulder girdle and pelvis, suggesting that not only were the front fins enlarged and powerful, but the hind fins as well. And that was particularly new data for us. The ability to understand that in these animals that were probably still aquatic for 99% of the time, they were already developing four powerful limbs that would allow them to eventually exploit the land. And in the evolutionary history of life on Earth, that's a pretty important step when you're going from aquatic to terrestrial life. And thanks to that important evolutionary step, here we are, among many others.
How old was this? I mean, when did it live?
Approximately 375 million years ago, the late part of the Devonian period. And we have found these things in rocks deposited at that time way up in the Canadian Arctic when that area was much warmer, much more temperate. And we think that the environment that these animals lived in was actually swampy, sort of stream systems. So there were plenty of these sort of shallow water environments where limb-like fins would have been a selective advantage, and that sort of got this whole ball rolling with becoming more and more terrestrial.
Well, were other parts of its body looking like it was adjusting to becoming terrestrial?
Absolutely. In fact, we can look through anything from the nature of the brain case to the way the skull moved and the different hinges within the skull, to the fact that it actually was losing the bony connections between the skull and the shoulders, and then elaborating that shoulder girdle to really support weight. You know, a neutrally buoyant fish in the water doesn't need to support weight with its fins.
Yeah.
But when you start using those fins on the bottom of a shallow water habitat, you need to support those fins with a girdle, shoulders and pelvis. So all through the body, we're seeing these adaptations that were sort of precursors, and eventually, when animals did specialize on coming and land, these were important steps. The actual, you know, when animals made that transition to land with four legs and the ability to move around extensively is a difficult question, but certainly within 10, 20, 30 million years of the animals that we're finding.
What would you think this would have evolved into? Would it be 9 feet long? It has a head like a crocodile?
Yeah. Well, it evolved into every limbed animal on Earth, basically. I mean, when we put together a family tree or a tree of the history of life, these are the organisms that were the common ancestor for all limbed animals. So from animals like this and this evolutionary lineage, you continue along with a bunch of things we would eventually call amphibians, but then there was a branching point sort of above Tiktaalik, this animal on the tree, where one group were developing the ability to lay eggs on land. We call those amniotes. From the amniotes, we get reptiles and mammals. From reptiles, we get birds and all the rest. So This is down there on the family tree of the history of vertebrate life, where it's the common ancestor of everything. In other words, it's as closely related to you and I as it is to an alligator.
Right. Talking with Ted Deschler on Science Friday from PRI. Now, one part that was still missing from your find is the tail, right?
Exactly. And, well, the back end of the animal.
Well, I called it a tail. It might not be a tail, is what you're saying.
Well, we still have to guess on the actual tail part. You know, what we were able to learn a lot about was the sort of the pelvis and the fins that were attached to the pelvis, the pelvic fins. You know, it's interesting when you're finding fossils, many times you don't find complete skeletons, and we were really lucky with this animal, Tiktaalik. The sites we worked up in the Canadian Arctic were producing wonderful material, but always of the front end of the animal. We had great skulls, shoulders, front fins, even some scales and parts of the body there. But finding the back end, for one reason or another, was a challenge. But through the years, various collecting expeditions, we were able to find material, particularly of that pelvis, but a little bit of the fin itself, which led to this publication. Kind of, we gathered enough information to go out and really figure out what this back area was like. We're still missing the tail behind that. We can make some guesses based on closely related forms what the tail looked like. But it's a fascinating animal, and it's what we would call a transitional fossil.
A missing link?
Well, one of many. Yeah. It has both primitive features and derived features, helps us see those connections between what you might call fish and what you'd call limbed animals.
Do you have to rewrite any textbooks for this at all?
Not particularly. In the details, absolutely. It's interesting, the reason we sort of set off to find things like this, I've been working with a guy named Neil Shubin at the University of Chicago and a wonderful man named Ferris Jenkins at Harvard University who recently passed away. And we set off to find something because the textbooks gave us a rough idea of how this transition happened. But we really wanted to find more, so we went to rocks of the right age, that were in the right sort of environments, and just looked. And sure enough, the sort of the prediction was we would find something very transitional, and we did.
Are you still looking?
Absolutely. You know, not only for this animal, it will never fill every gap in the fossil record, but this was an important one to fill, and there's many more, not only with this story of fins to limbs, but even the whole story about how sort of our bodies, all the vertebrate bodies, were established. And so all through time, we have a lot to discover.
Where on the Earth was this part of northern Canada at that time?
Yeah, this landmass that we now call North America was attached up to Greenland and then over to Europe at the time, again, about 375 million years ago. And that entire landmass was shifted south significantly. So I'm here in Pennsylvania, and I would have been south of the equator in the Devonian period. And this area in the Arctic was a bit north of the equator at the time.
Was this Gondwanaland or...?
This is something we call Eurasia. It's actually pre-Gondwanaland. So it's pre when all the continents came together sort of at the beginning of the Mesozoic era.
All right, Ted, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Oh, Ira, it's my pleasure.
And good luck with your fossil hunting.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Ted Deschler is a professor and associate curator at the Academy of Natural Sciences at Drexel University in Philadelphia.